Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Friday, November the 5th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic today is ADHD. Interest is the key, and it's instinctive. With us in our virtual studio is David Work, and we're going to get into some things with him in a second and into our topic. Before we do so, I want to make a few announcements. Number one, be watching Attention Talk Radio schedule. We are going to be moving our show from Friday afternoons to, I think, Wednesday nights. We're not 100% sure, so watch scheduling for that, but we're anxious. We're going to move to the evening hours where it'll be a little bit more conducive for people to dial into the show live and ask questions. So one of the things that we're looking for in the new year is to have several panel discussions on where we'll have some topics and have more callers calling in and doing that, so the change in time will really help facilitate that. Also, as a new feature, we're going to start ADHD information update each week, and I want to go ahead and kind of do that now. So here's DIG Coaching Practices weekly ADHD update. This report's being brought to you by the ADD Coaching Academy. Everyone out there, ADHD Coaches Organization is looking for member coaches interested in serving on the board. To learn more, go to ADHDcoaches.org or contact Sarah Wright or Rob Garrett. For most everybody out there who's a member would know who they are. Next, the 22nd Annual Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder Conference is November 11th through the 13th in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're interested in attending or learning more, go to chadd.org. Next, the ADD Coaching Academy is offering a free teleclass to learn more about their ADHD coaching and educational programs Wednesday, November the 10th. That's coming up this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To find out more and to register, go to addca.com/freeintro. That's freeintro.html. Next, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association has their fall webinar series. Their next call is going to be November the 19th with Jody Sleeper Triplett, and the topic is empowering teens and young adults through coaching. So those are some exciting things that are coming up around the corner. Be on the lookout each week. We're going to start to do some regular announcements to keep everybody apprised as to what's going on. So, moving on. Again, today we have Dave Gwork in our audience. Dave is passionate about serving those who struggle with ADHD. He's a master certified coach with the International Coaching Federation. He's the founder and president of the ADD Coaching Academy. He was a past president of the the Attention Deficit Disorder Association. And Dave was a catalyst for ADA's U.S. Senate resolution declaring September 7, 2004, National ADHD Awareness Day, which I think really kind of continues to this day because we actually did several special programs in the month of September for that. He's graduated cum laude from Syracuse and is a graduate of the CoachU training program. So without further ado, David, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. I got to tell you, I like that blues song that you play at the beginning for the intro. It got my attention.
Well, that's good because we're going to talk a lot about attention today, and specifically interest and attention. And everyone out there, David is he's the founder and the president of the ADD Coaching Academy, the largest ADHD coaches school in the world. I actually went through his program and subscribed to a lot of some of his philosophies. And for today's topic, I thought he was perfect to have on. Really, I really want to kind of focus today on interest as like kind of the window, the gatekeeper, the way into coaching to really try to find out how those with ADD work and how to help find solutions for them. And so, David, I want to kind of start this conversation out, because since I went through your training program, I've been working with people, and it seems to me I've come on this concept that interest is like it's an instinctive type thing. In other words, I wonder, can you not pay attention to what you're interested in, or is it something that's automatic?
I think you can. I think that interest can be an instinctual thing that we're not always aware of. I think there's a conscious intention to pay attention to something that we have to do or want to do. And, of course, with ADDers, the things that they have to do are not nearly as interesting as the things they want to do. And I think there are those categories of things that we're very interested in that our brains are naturally stimulated and we're not even aware of. I mean, you hear of athletes all the time getting into a flow, and they're not even aware of it. There's baseball players that all of a sudden are up to the plate, and they see a baseball that's very small become very large. And they don't even know it. Interest is the fuel for the brain, but that fuel, sometimes we can be conscious of it and sometimes we're not, and it really depends on the situations. Some things, like a kid playing a video game, just are naturally instinctual. The question we have to ask is what they're paying attention to, serving them well, and that becomes a function of intention. So we're always paying attention to something, Jeff. The level of attention and how it serves us is based on our choice of intention. But sometimes there are things that we don't have that choice. We just are, as you say, instinctually ignited in the brain, and our brains are already hardwired for stimulation. Now, the ADHD brain is more wired for engagement and interest. Now, whether that engagement or interest is conscious really depends, but I do believe that there is a lot of interest that we're not consciously aware of.
So when we're working with somebody, one of the things that we always talk about is, you know, pay attention to what they're interested in and pay attention to their strengths, right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, one of the things, there's other coaches that have been on here talking about, like, you know, they're working with kids, they like to kind of go on site because they like to see what the kids' interests are. And they go into their room and stuff like that. You see poster of maybe music and stuff like that. And to me, that concept is it's almost like you can't turn it off. You're always going to be drawn to those things that are naturally interesting to you.
Yeah.
You almost kind of, I mean, our mind can override it, our instincts, to a certain extent. But for the most part, if we're not thinking and we're not paying attention to it, would you say that we're just kind of drawn to whatever our brain naturally stimulates our brain?
Well, there's a biological piece here, Jeff. Everything you see, you touch, you hear, you taste, it travels through your body in the form of electrical signals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these signals are going to pass in your body from cell to cell until they eventually reach your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the reticular activating system is the gatekeeper that allows the strongest electrical charges to get through. And that's, you know, it starts by the base of your spinal cord, which is, you know, and it tries to travel up to the rational part of your brain. But there's a problem, there could be a problem. As it's traveling along the way to the rational part of your brain, called the frontal lobes or the prefrontal cortex, it has to go through the emotional part of your brain called the limbic system. And we are emotional beings, and we are impacted by emotions, and we're not always aware of emotions. Research shows us in terms of emotional intelligence, which is our ability to regulate communication between the rational and the emotional side, when something interests us, do we have the ability to pause and pay attention to it? Well, the world research, 500,000 people across the world where they've done this emotional intelligence kind of stuff, says that only 36% of the world population is able to identify the emotions that they're having in the moment. And emotions are very interesting. They stimulate your brain, but we're not always aware of them. So can we override an emotion? You can't really override an emotion per se. The emotion is always going to be felt. Can we manage the emotion? Can we pay attention to the emotion and regulate it? Yes, we can learn to do that by pausing, but most people, not just people with ADHD, most people across the world don't have this emotional intelligence, this ability to say, I'm being stimulated by something in my brain called an emotion, and I don't have the intelligence or the wherewithal to pause and say, how is this serving me? That they don't get to the rational part, that the emotional part overrides the rational part. So when you ask about interest and paying attention, I think that emotions is certainly one of those things that totally stimulate our brain, and we're not, research shows us, we're not aware of it. So, yeah, Jeff, I think there's a high percentage of those things that we're very, very interested in that emotions overcome us, or the stimulation becomes so intense that we hyper-focus, and we can't shift out of it. So this is a very important thing. Can we learn to pay attention to what we're paying attention to? Definitely. But a lot of what we pay attention to are unidentified emotions, and that's a huge piece.
So let's take you've got somebody that you're working with that they have a lot of emotions, right? It's just coming to them. It's stimulating to their brain. It's an adrenaline rush. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to try to take this down where the tire meets the road, which is really kind of what my goal in the show was, is what we're trying to do is try to get that person to actually pay attention to the impact their emotion is actually having on them.
Right, Jeff. That's exactly right. And here's the assumption that we make. The assumption, like you and I are verbal processors, Jeff, and for most of our lives we would verbalize things out loud that people assumed we were paying attention to, and people assumed that we knew, when in fact the verbal processing was the first element in identifying it, and nobody mirrored it back to us, so we didn't have a clue.
Yep.
We didn't have a clue. The emotions ran us, the interest ran us, until somebody said, you know, Jeff or David, I'm hearing that you're very angry about this task that you have to do, and are you aware of that? And we weren't aware of it. So what happens is the emotion overrode anything that we could do, and we had no clarity, no understanding of what we were paying attention to, because people made the assumption that because it came out of our mouth, we were aware of what we were interested in. Interesting doesn't necessarily mean good either, Jeff.
Yep.
I think there's a fallacy that people think that when you're interested in something, it's good for you. You can be very interested in a negative emotion that is not good to you, just like you can be very interested in a positive emotion that could be very good for you, but awareness is the first place, and coaches can be dramatic in helping someone like you and I who verbally process and say, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you say blankety blank blank blank, and that blank is an emotion. That's huge, and psychology tells us that, Jeff.
So
when we do that, we diminish its power over us.
Absolutely. So taking, and I hope I might not be, I hope I'm going the right direction here, but like, let's say that you're coaching somebody and they have that emotion, right, Dave?
Yep.
And they're not even doing it. And you're mirroring back and saying, hey, listen, I'm hearing that you're dwelling on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we've, in your class and out there, we talk about rumination.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many times I've worked with somebody who is ruminating, and you say, hey, listen, I'm paying attention to what you're paying attention to, and you're paying attention to a lot of emotion, and it's a lot of negative emotion, and it's ruminating. It's kind of, because when you label it, it kind of gives them something to work with. And when you mirror that back and say, hey, listen, I'm hearing you're ruminating, just like you said, sometimes they're kind of focused on it. It's not necessarily a good thing. But it's in that moment that they actually realize that that's actually what they're doing, that they're ruminating. They're now a choice.
That's right. That's right. Jeff, that is, I think, summarizes what overcoming rumination is. It's understanding that you have a lot more control over rumination than you ever thought you did, and that it's a choice to change the thoughts that you're having, because the emotion overrides your ability to think about it and identify it. So first, when you mirror, you're identifying what's really going on, which they never had a name or a label for, and it's called rumination, a hyper-focus of negative thoughts, which you're not even aware of, and the coach makes you aware of, I hear that you're ruminating on this negative thought called anger, sadness, whatever, and in that moment, that's huge, because they're identifying what has been plaguing them, and now they have a choice. Can I change what I'm paying attention to? Of course you can. Of course you can, but it's such a powerful thing to be able to have somebody identify it and then say, well, what choices do you have about this thought? How is this thought serving you?
Yep.
Now you've taken it to the rational side. Now you're up into the frontal lobes, Jeff, when you do that,
yep.
That the limbic system is no longer controlling them, that you've taken them to the rational part, and now you can help connect the two together. That's emotional intelligence.
Absolutely. And David, I've noticed that some people tend to be more interested in emotions. They're more into the drama, and they're more
yes.
apt to get taken down is not the right word, but to kind of get absorbed in the adrenaline rush of the emotion. It affects
yes.
their lives more.
Yes.
Because emotion is stimulating, right?
It is. It's very stimulating. It's very interesting. And it's very stimulating.
Which is kind of the crux here is that interest is instinctive. It is interesting, and it is stimulating, and if you don't really realize what's stimulating your brain and what draws your brain to it, it's not until you realize that and that you pause that you can actually say, wait a second, is this serving me or is it not serving me? And the moment you ask that question, you're at choice.
That's right. And the moment you ask that, what's so powerful about that question, Jeff, is you're taking people out of the emotional realm of the limbic system, which is where it goes, into the rational part of the prefrontal cortex that's saying, ah, I know there's an emotion that's driving me, but how is it driving me? Now you're in the rational part. And what happens with most people is they just let the emotional part drive them. They let it override
yep.
any rational thought because they're not aware of it. You know, when you think of ADHD, Jeff, ADHD is a challenge of engagement. Nora Volko just did an 8-year research study that says ADHD is a deficit of interest. And the deficit of interest is related to their ability to engage their brains. Now, that's the first part of it, is engagement of the brain. But not everything that we engage the brain has a good intention. So
mm-hmm.
that's right. It's not enough to know that you're paying attention to something interesting. The question we have to ask is we have to bring it up to the rational side of the brain and say, is this a good purpose or is this not a good purpose? So it's a process of helping them identify what is stimulating their brain, called engagement, because that's the first thing that ignites them. And we all know that engagement can mean drugs, illegal
mm-hmm.
drugs. It can mean gambling. It can mean all kinds of negative things. Sure, it gets their brains going, but if they're not doing what you're saying, Jeff, if they're not paying attention to what they're paying attention to, they're going to continue to be stimulated and engaged by things that are really hurting them.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you what, Dave, what I'd like to do, I want to go to a break, and
yep.
then when we come back, we've got some people in the chat room, and those that are listening in the chat room, if you got a question for Dave, if you want to kind of type that out, and I'll see if I can pass it on. And also, we have at least one caller with area code 60607 that's interested in asking a question. So we'll go to break, we'll come back, we'll field some questions, and we'll continue our discussions, okay?
Yeah, great.
We'll be right back.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dig Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to Attention Talk Radio. Our topic is interest is key, and it's instinctive. With us today is David Gwork, the founder of the ADD Coaching Academy, and we're having a great discussion about paying attention to what you pay attention to. And, Dave, I kind of wanted to segue here a little bit and say, you know, it's really interesting because earlier you were talking about you and I, we're very verbal.
Yes.
And being verbal, being a person that's verbal, you know, it's interesting to me. It feels good to talk. Sometimes when
yeah.
I get really stuck and confused, I go to my wife and say, let me talk out loud.
Yeah.
And I'll talk for 15 minutes and she'll be completely silent. When I'm done, I'll say, thanks, I solved my own problem.
Yeah.
Just because it gets me through that process. And I kind of really want to highlight in the whole coaching thing, I've come to realize that talking is interesting to me. It's stimulating to me. And other than the fact that it actually led me to start this radio show because I don't like writing and blogging and stuff's difficult, the issue here really and what I'm trying to highlight is I never really paid attention that talking is interesting to me and it's instinctive. I never really paid attention to it before in the past. And as I have paid attention to it, I've said, how can I use it to my advantage? And again, when I got into the coaching world and, you know, you have to do social media, blah, 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 I moved into the radio stuff because I kind of paid attention to what I was interested in, what was instinctive and kind of how I naturally work. And thank God, because this show has been fun. And I'm just sharing that with you, Dave, because I think that's an example when we talk about coaching and interest in everything and what do? If you go back and you pay attention to what you're naturally drawn to and you follow that, if you become conscious of it, it can make you really, really pretty powerful, and really kind of what coaching is based off.
Yeah, and Jeff, I think it's easier for adults to do this than the kids that are, you know, programmed in school, because, you know, for me, I don't know about what was for you, but I verbally processing things out loud meant, would the kid shut up? He talks so much.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all kinds of negative labels associated with it. And luckily I had parents and grandparents that said it was a real strength. You know, you need to learn to, you know, hone that into a skill where you can speak in front of people, because they saw that I naturally did it. And yet in school and my peers, even in the workplace, led me to believe that that was a weakness. So now we as we get older, we can start to say, well, it doesn't matter what they thought. It matters what works for me in my natural style and what am I able to do the best. And for you and I, conveying things verbally, not only learn it, but we're better communicators that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, let's just see. I got a caller with a 607 area code that has a question. Let's see if we can get them in here. Hang on, caller with 607 area code. You there?
Hi. Yes.
Do you have a question for David?
Yes. I actually do. I'd first like to say that I was recently diagnosed like 4 months ago. Actually, a title was put to who I am. So, you know, with the ADD, I've just always been like this. But I have been trying to get through to some Block Talk radio shows dealing with ADHD, and I have just not been able to. I'm so glad to be able to reach you today.
We're thrilled to have you on.
Okay. Well, I hear that you are talking about interest and the brain catching the interest and going with that. Is that that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and moving away from what you were previously working on, correct?
I'm sorry?
And it's, say you're working on something, you're just doing something catches your sight, something that catches you. Okay, so you stop doing what you're doing and you move in that direction.
Yep, that can happen too. The interest can wane from one topic to another. That's one of the challenges of ADHD.
Okay.
So
well,
what's on your mind about that? I get that there's something you're thinking about.
Oh, yeah, you're getting. You can understand me then. Okay, well, forever, since I was an adolescent, I have been interested in writing.
Okay.
And, you know, I did some writing for high school and, the school paper and whatnot. And eventually, I think in my late 20s, enrolled in a freelance writing course and ended up getting some articles published in a few different papers locally.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's really, and I'm so excited just thinking about it, you know, and thinking about doing research excites me. I just recently enrolled in a children's writing course, and I didn't do it for the longest time, you know, I have children and all that, but now's the time. And I find myself, I guess probably putting it off while I'm stumped right there. It interests me.
Yeah.
I really want, you know, I have started it. It's just I have a hard time getting back to it, not because I'm bored or I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I wondered if maybe that was something you guys were talking about or could talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, what's your name, by the way?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Sarah. And I'm
okay, Sarah. Well, first of all, it's a great question and a great scenario because it happens to a lot of us, including Jeff and I and all the people that have grown in understanding our own ADHD. And the first thing that I heard when I was listening to you, the moment you started talking about writing, there was a very strong and positive emotion. The moment, this is what you said, the moment I think of it, I get excited and I get all interested. And I've written two articles, and the thought of research really excites me. And
yes,
then you said, then you said the following. You said, I have kids and I have other, you alluded, I have other activities that I have to do. And I heard almost, this is where we go to that rational part of the brain where we have to make a choice. If I choose to pay attention to all the things that I have to do, and all the things I have to do are some of the more mundane activities with the family and the kids, and I make a choice to do the things I love last near the end of the day or not give it the amount of time that I think it deserves, then what will happen to the things that I love to do at the expense of the things that I don't love to do? So it becomes a choice.
Yes.
So here's what I'd like you to think about. Can we reach, and a lot of people with ADHD are sort of black and white. It's either or. Can there be a compromise? What if you took a certain amount of time to start your day, to start your day with the things that you love to do? What do you think would happen with the things that you didn't love to do after you started your day with the things that you did love to do?
Well, they probably wouldn't be look so mundane. I'm guessing. I've heard a lot about do what you love to do first, and then you kind of feel better. Or look at things in a more positive way.
Sarah, did you ever grow up with the belief that you were told, do all the things you don't want to do, get them out of the way, and then you get to do what you want to do?
Yes, I have heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I grew up with, and that's what will take you away directly from your passions. When you find something you love to do, and you're aware of it, and you consciously choose it, now you're paying attention to something with a good intention. What can possibly hurt you about writing more articles and doing research in the things you love to do? That will ignite your brain for the things that, just like you said, that are more mundane. And you might not love them, but you'll already feel good that you've done something good that you love to do. And that's what Jeff is referring to. We're not even paying attention to what we're paying attention to, and we pay attention to invisible beliefs of what we're supposed to do. And I'm just as guilty of that as you are, sir. I have to catch myself all the time. But when I don't catch myself, my energy is different and my ability to pay attention is. Things that are emotionally satisfying to us, that are aligned with the rational part of our brain, turn into great accomplishments. So I really encourage you to do more of that and see what happens.
Can I just want to say one more thing, and I know you have other questions.
Yep.
The whole ADHD experience has been because concepts are, of course, intangible, but you really have to trust that others like yourself are, I'm sure everybody else knows it, but right now I'm just starting to understand a lot that you've been there and you've experienced, like you said, you know, doing the more positive things first. There's a lot of that with this ADHD because you can get stuck, and I so don't want to be stuck. I've kind of been stuck a couple times, of course, already, more than a couple, but it's like it doesn't have to be that way, and so I really appreciate your show.
Well, Sarah, one of the things, if you pay attention to the patterns of when you're stuck, like some, I find a lot of ADHDers get stuck when they, you know, they're confused on the next step. They're unclear on what to do.
Right.
And like I have that problem myself. When I'm unclear on what to do, I get stuck. But I've learned that how I get unstuck is if I go talk to somebody, like my wife, as I mentioned earlier, that many times can get me unstuck. And if you pay attention to what you're paying attention to in those patterns, you'll start to see things emerge that might surprise you.
Okay.
And you can use it to your advantage.
One last thing.
Okay.
When you think of writing those articles, is there a picture? Is there emotion? What comes up for you? Is there a word? What comes up when you think of yourself writing the way you want to write?
Information. I mean, I know a lot of ADHDers, but all of my life I've been like this, just finding out things and doing the research on the different, things that interest people.
Okay. So if you were to see the word curiosity or information in big letters, writing is curiosity and information, and you had those words in front of you, and when you were in a bad place and you saw those words, what would it do for you?
That would probably give me a spark of interest.
Okay. Can I ask you to write those words down when you get down? And if something else comes up for you later, fine. And put that in a place where you're going to see it every day.
That is such a good idea. I had that idea probably about a month ago just to write on some, you know, construction paper or whatever, print it out in colors, just different words like that, not curiosity and research, but just like little positive.
Words that work for you. That's right. And put them in as many places as you want.
Thank you. That's a great idea. You know, I'm going to do it. Not
great.
Really,
thanks,
excellent.
Sarah.
Thanks a lot.
Sarah, thanks for coming to the show. If you want to, look back in the Attention Talk Radio archives. There's lots of shows in the past that you might find of interest, all right?
Okay, thanks. Have a good day.
Yep. David, we've only got about 45 seconds here to go. So before, just to kind of wrap things up, can you just tell the listeners how they could get in touch with you if they've got any questions about your coaching academy?
Sure. First and foremost, November 10th, we have a free introductory teleclass. You're all welcome to it. I'll talk about our philosophy and what we do. We also have a lot of wonderful information on our site at www.addca.com, and we have a Facebook page with nice little two-minute videos on there, too.
Excellent, excellent. Well, David, I'd like to thank you for being on the show today and all of our listeners out there. Check our show archives. Remember, we're going to be adjusting our schedule to move to Wednesday night. So if you guys kind of keep current, we'll be looking forward to another episode. David, thanks again.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Love your show. It's the best.
Take care.
Bye-bye.